Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2018. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great ways for restoration. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We can make America great again if we make America moral again. Welcome to the broadcast. Yesterday, we talked big time about Laura Ingraham and LeBron James having a battle. I kind of question if they're just doing it for ratings. Nevertheless, it's an epic battle and people are taking sides. I chose not to take sides. I chose to say they both have the right to say and think what they want, but they ought not attack each other with unfair non-starter discussions. In other words, attacking LeBron for, you know, joining the NBA and leaving school early or whatever and just attacking him, just saying he's ignorant. And I just don't find those things helpful. Let's not attack people. Let's deal with issues, shall we? Now, speaking of issues, though, there is somebody coming to the defense of Laura Ingraham. A guy by the name of Carl Jackson. Kurt?
Yeah, he's a, he writes in the WorldNet Daily Boys, put him up. He happens to be, Sam, I guess the term is black American. I don't know what he calls himself.
If he's like my buddy Lloyd buddy Marcus, he's an unhyphenated American.
That's what I was going to say. But anyway, in this case, he's talking about LeBron James and Kevin Durant and their, where he says, is it possible that these guys are victims of a post-racial America? And later he points out, well, they're sure bringing in lots of money in a sure racist America. But he says he disagrees with Ingraham in that I don't want LeBron or KD to shut up and dribble. They're entitled to their God-given First Amendment rights, kind of like you said, right? But he says, however, I must admit I'm sick and tired of athletes opining on issues they don't seem to have a clue about, he says, which is often, and then getting overly sensitive and tossing around the R word. That's, by the way, racist if you didn't know what the R word was, when someone has the audacity to challenge their position. He says, here's where I agree with Ingraham. I don't care who you are, clean up your language. When you're talking about the office of the president, LeBron shouldn't run his mouth like that. LeBron and KD both are role models and pretty good ones, in my opinion. However, they do minority kids that look up to them a disservice when they so quickly resort to racial rhetoric. Like you said, clean up your language.
And he's right on both of those counts, yeah. By the way. But also, Laura Ingraham, though, attacking them for being uneducated and all this kind of stuff and shut up and dribble. All that does is, again, paint that racial divide that she's somehow the white supremacist, keeping the man down. And she falls into that, too, Kurt, in my opinion.
And final two or three little paragraphs from him, he says, as I've written about frequently, I believe that LeBron James, KD, that's Kevin Durant, and millennials in general have it so good in America, they have to invent their own grievances to feel important. Everyone wants his or her life to matter. They have no clue about what real racism looks like because their ancestors and mine have already won the battle. This is why microaggressions are so prominent on college campuses. He says overt cases of racism are so rare that minorities and their left-wing sympathizers have to resort to identifying perceived racism. No logical person can figure out. And final paragraph from him says, inevitably, thanks to people like LeBron and KD, microaggressions will continue to perpetuate racism rather than end it. I better stop writing now before I convince myself that maybe they should just shut up and dribble.
So, but I get anyway. The battle, but what do you think, Kurt? You think this guy and Laura's right? Well, I think they're right on part of it.
Like you said, I agree with, you know, everybody having their opportunity to speak, but there's no reason we have to throw swear words and bad language in. We got to try to build each other up, try to find the ways that we can work together instead of trying to pick a fight, if you will. That's just not helpful in anybody's world, I think.
But make no mistake, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Laura Ingram, they're all getting a career boost, a lot of coverage, a lot of free media out of this, that's for sure, including us, including World Net Daily, including everybody and their dog. And all I can tell you is I understand and I do defend Laura in some of the points, which is, hey, we don't need to swear and we don't need to, you know, continue to drive a wedge racially. But I just disagree when we start attacking their education and we start acting like just shut up and dribble, you're no good for nothing but dribbling a basketball kind of an idea. In my opinion, that adds, both of them are adding to the racial divide, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think what we ought to do is we ought to basically say, you know, LeBron, I appreciate you acting like there's a racial problem here, but the fact is there's so many white people that go out and watch you and pay good money to support you. I'm so glad in America where your ancestors suffered, we've got that all behind us because you've had the incredible opportunity to be successful. And one of the, in my opinion, guys that actually focuses on this quite well, Kurt, he's a rapper. Do you know who this guy is?
A rapper.
Yeah, there's a rapper.
That means guys that fix presents at the store?
Yeah, that's it, exactly right.
Yeah, rapping things.
Now, come on, this guy's a rapper.
I really don't know. No, I mean,
all right.
I can't.
He's a rapper that says there's no such thing as racism, and he's never seen any racism in his whole life.
Well, cool.
Now, I don't agree with 90% of what this guy does, because he's got, you know, swear word-filled music and perverted music and everything else. I'm not defending the guy. But his nickname is Wheezy, Kurt.
Wheezy.
Yeah. Now, Wheezy is also known as Lil Wayne.
All right.
Lil Wayne literally just came out and said, I don't know of any racism. I'm incredibly rich and doing well, and white people like my music as much as black people, and I've never seen racism in my life. It's a wonderful country. It's a good thing. And they tried to attack him and get him to recant, and he wouldn't. He just said, no, blank you guys. Da-da-da. He went off on a swear tirade saying, you guys are crazy. I'm right. I've never seen racism, and you're not going to get me to change my mind. Now, again, I disagree with his rhetoric. I could say it's uneducated. I could say it's wrong to let that go. But I could also say he's standing up in what he believes. And again, I think Lil Wayne, I think that KD, I think that LeBron James, I think that Laura Ingram, all of them have a right to speak as they do. I agree with Wheezy, or I agree with, in this case, Lil Wayne. I haven't seen racism in my life, Kurt. I really haven't. I've seen Americans work together for incredible things. And any American that embraces the principles of God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property is a friend of mine. And I'd like to see more of that. And so I understand Laura's points. And I agree with a lot of them. I also understand Lil Wayne's points, and I agree with some of his. And I also understand LeBron's points. And, you know, some of their points do make some sense. Anyway, there you go. Good. All right, Kurt, good news. Thankfully, Thomas Massie's in Congress.
Yes.
What, he's a representative of Kentucky? Is that right, Kurt?
That's the way I remember it.
He has once again sponsored what he calls the Safe Students Act. H.R. 34, just so you know, that's a common sense bill that any pro-Second Amendment politician should be happy to sponsor and get behind. What would it do? It would repeal the 1990 School Free Zones Act, Kurt. Do you want to get rid of the gun-free
School Zones Act? So that's when we first started that, was 1990?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, I mean, it would sure be a step in the right direction if you ask me, but there's a lot more that could be done, I think.
Yeah, amen. Now, let me be clear when you say, is that when that first started? That's when they put this school zone free act in place or whatever. That doesn't mean that they didn't have hostilities against your right to keep and bear arms before that. So let's be clear about the history, right, Kurt?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but yeah, and so he wants to repeal that. And again, I don't hear a word about it from anybody, not even the good. I mean, where's Donald to back Thomas Massie's bill, Kurt? He's too busy endorsing Mitt Romney, who wants to take your guns away. He's too busy signaling that he'd be willing to talk about gun control, Kurt. See, this is the problem that I have. Again, when Rand Paul said, let's get rid of all of foreign aid, let's reduce foreign aid money and use it to build our infrastructure. That's where the money can come from. He got ignored. Now, when Thomas Massie says, hey, let's get rid of this bogus bill or legislation that, you know, the 1990 gun-free zone, gun-free school zones act, he's not being paid attention to. But it's the Safe Students Act, H.R. 34, a common sense bill that would repeal the 1990 Gun-Free School Zones Act. And I don't hear anybody paying attention to Thomas Massie on this, but this is my point. We need to, Kurt. And it's hard for me to believe these people are doing good and genuine when they ignore what's in the hopper that could be the solution. Thomas Massie's bill in this case, Rand Paul's bills in previous, you know, iterations of discussions on issues. They can't be on the right side of the coin when they just ignore these reality checks that good people put in place, Kurt. So that's of great concern. But I commend Thomas Massie. All right, Kurt, you want to tell us about a hacker, don't you?
Well, I figured you'd know a lot about this guy. There's an individual that is, I guess they call him Kim.com. Is that right, Sam?
I guess so. But again, it's just a nickname, right, Kurt? I mean, it's just a...
Right, yeah, but...
What do they call that when somebody goes under a different name? It's like an alter ego, or it's like a...
Yeah.
Pen name, yeah, that's kind of equivalent, name. Hacker yeah. Pen name kind of a thing.
They call him a prominent hacker. Bob Unruh writes the piece from WorldNet Daily, but the headline reads, "Hacker doubles down, : it was Seth Rich who took DNC files."
All right, let's talk about that. This is where Donald ought to be spending his time, in my opinion, looking into this, investigating this, holding people accountable for their crimes. I don't see any of it, Kurt. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt on your radio. So, Kurt, you're talking about this interesting kind of a scenario, right?
Well, yeah, you know, see, there's these people that have been saying that, hey, you know, the Russian hackers are the guys that, you know, got the emails from the DNC, right, Sam? Isn't that what they talk about? Well, this guy, this so-called hacker, his name, they call him Kim.com, apparently tweeted out that, quote, the DNC hack wasn't even a hack. And this is reported by Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge blog. He went on to say it was an insider with a memory stick. I know this because I know who did it and why. Special Counsel Mueller is not interested in my evidence.
Of course
my
he's not, Kurt. Neither is the Donald, twice. By the way, Kurt.
Good point. Or maybe he's not aware of it. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, says if he has he his never... buddies listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, he's aware of it now.
Good point. He this man, anyway, they call him .com, he never replied. And it says, let me assure you, the DNC hack wasn't even a hack. It was an insider with a memory stick. I was going to try to get to the reason he said this, Sam, and maybe you can, back this up. But apparently there's a way when you're, he said, explained this on ZeroHedge.com's assertion is backed up by an analysis done last year by a researcher who goes by the name of Forensicator, who determined that the DNC files were copied at 22.6 megabytes per second, a speed virtually impossible to achieve from halfway around the world, much less over a local network, yet a speed typical of file transfers to a memory stick. Do you want to
let me highlight this. There's a lot of technical details that people want to claim can prove facts. And what I don't like is when people report what are so-called facts, but yet they do it from some unknown name or unknown entity, because you don't know who's writing what or saying what or doing what. There are forensic details that can tell you a lot about computers and things like that that people don't realize and know about. A simple example of this is when you delete something on your computer, it's not really deleted. The only way it's really deleted is if you get software intentionally to,
like Hillary did on the
like Hillary
show.
Did exactly right yeah. to overwrite each every single zero and one on the hard drive and force it to literally be not only deleted but overwritten, so to speak, and it can become unrecoverable if you know what you're doing. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is examples like that. There are details you can tell, and I don't know if I can confirm the truth of that statement or not. What I mean by I say I don't know, I don't have the inside information to do that. There are people who probably can, though. And the reason I say that is that I want to get... Here's what will happen. If I say anything about this, Kurt, without having more detail, then if anything turns up right or wrong, then I'll be accused of, oh, man, you doubled down and said this or said that. I don't know. What I do know is this. We're not getting the truth on this, Kurt. And I tend to believe those who have stories that start to explain the unexplained. And what I mean by that is just to hear that a robbery went wrong with this high-level Seth Rich guy... who was, outing government swamp monsters.
Yeah, and they
monsters.
Never took any of his stuff.
Okay, and then we hear it was a robbery gone wrong, but what did they rob, right? And none of it adds up, then I say that's unexplained. When I hear people that are explaining the unexplained, like, let's dig into this, like Seth Rich was at the middle of this and doing that, and I hear him from Donna Brazil, or Brazil, however you say her name, that she was concerned about that as well, and there's got to be some legs to this. When I also see it being flat out covered up, and anybody who brings up the Seth Rich story is dubbed the conspiracy nut, then I say there's more here than meets the eye. That's what they said when we talked about the Ammon Bundy FBI scandal, where we told you the FBI was lying and being dishonest, and they murdered a man in Lavoie Finicum, and they covered it up, and they dishonestly withheld evidence, and everybody laughed at us and mocked, and now the judge even agrees. Whistleblowers came to the table to tell the tale. Okay, so that's an example of what I mean. I don't know if all the facts we have are correct. What I know is what we're being told isn't true because the facts don't add up. And I know that there's more information here than meets the eye, and it's very likely that this point is true, Kurt. It's very likely that is a factual reality. The problem is I don't know who's saying it, and I don't know what details they're giving. In other words, without some of the backstory and details from the inside, it's very hard to double down in support of this. But I know this. What benefit would this hacker have? This is another reason I believe it, Kurt. What benefit does this hacker have to double down? It was Seth Rich that took the DNC files. What does this hacker have to gain by that, Kurt?
It's a great question, Sam.
And what do they have in value to discredit this guy?
He, she, or whoever this individual is, claims that they were part of the whole thing. And, just like you say, when you got the, quote, authorities that don't seem to get to the bottom of it. Nobody can tell us who really killed him, you know, or any of that stuff.
Then, well, and they didn't even do a proper investigation, though. It's kind of like cremating Stephen Paddock's body before we even get the autopsy. Because nobody can challenge the autopsy now. What are you going to challenge?
Yeah.
Okay, it's that kind of stuff that really loses faith for me or erodes trust quickly. All right, now there's another story that kind of dovetails with this one, Kurt, quite well. Headline, all heck broke loose when the smoking gun that proved Obama's guilt surfaced. The cover-up surrounding Barack Obama's role in the worst scandal in American history continues to unravel. His administration used the FBI to spy on the Trump campaign. Now all heck is breaking loose because the smoking gun that proves his guilt just surfaced. On January 20th, 2017, the day Donald Trump took office, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice sent herself an email to memorialize the events of the 2017 January 5th Oval Office meeting. Who was there? Barack Obama, that's president. Joe Biden, that's vice president. FBI Director James Comey and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates were all at this meeting, Kurt. In her email, Rice wrote that Obama insisted that the FBI investigation be by the book. They also discussed hiding information about the Russian probe from the Trump administration. So at first glance, you could say, well, he wanted it by the book. That's good, right? No, not necessarily. This email places Barack Obama at the center of the Russian investigation. Details of this email were released in a letter by Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley. Fox News had the details. Ex-National Security Advisor Susan Rice sent that email the day Trump was sworn into office, according to Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley. In the email, Obama's national security advisor said that Barack Obama began the discussion by continuing to say this needs to be by the book. But here's the problem, Kurt. On one hand, you could say that's good. He wants it by the book. But what it really says is that people were reporting to Barack that he knew about it, that he was at the center of it, and that he literally commissioned it. The problem is how much of it was really by the book. The email also appears to reflect Obama's, quote, guidance on sharing sensitive information with both the Russians and the incoming Trump administration. Rice wrote that Obama said that he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team that we are mindful that we need to ascertain if we should share information or if there's any reason we could not share information. Wow. Fully as it relates to Russia. In other words, we're not even going to brief the incoming administration on the reality of what's going on. Grassley's letter also suggests the fake news Christopher Steele dossier was discussed at the meeting. That's what led critics to question if James Comey and Sally Yates revealed the true origin of the dossier to Barack. Or do they keep him in the dark to remain his plausible deniability? Either way, this email points to Barack Hussein Obama being neck deep in the scandals. We already knew that Barack Obama knew all about the Russian scandal because text messages between two FBI agents showed they prepared Comey for a meeting with Obama about the Russia investigation. Wow, where he wanted to know everything. Obama wanted to know everything. The Rice email is the second document confirming Barack's involvement and details about how the FBI was unconstitutionally conducting their business. Liberty Roundtable Live, chat and details in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about all heck broke loose when the smoking gun that proved Barack Hussein Obama's guilt surfaced. So we got Hillary guilty of the uranium scandal with Russia. We got pay dirt on it. Now we got evidence that Barack Obama was at the center of the Russian scandal. He knew what was going on. He was reported to. There was a secret meeting that took place on the 5th of January. President, vice president, all these key people were there, Comey and others. They discussed it all. Got reported in emails and texts and everything else. And bottom line, though, Kurt, as far as I can tell, I don't see any real accountability for this. Donald's doing nothing. Right? I mean, do you see anything happening here?
No. And yet, that's what we hope for. We hope for justice for all, right?
Absolutely. And accountability for all, too.
Well, that's what I mean, you know. Justice
all right.
And the way it should be done.
Got a note from FreedomWorks, Kurt. There's a new report out. You ready to hear the details about it?
Okay.
IRS employees dodge taxes and get bonuses. Dateline, Washington, D.C. A new report out of the Office of the Inspector General revealed this infuriating but not surprising news. Vice President of Advocacy, Mr. Wall, released the following statement, quote, "These federal bureaucrats are digging around in our tax files looking for any, quote, slip up. That's not perfect. And they're collecting bonuses while they're personally way out of compliance. The IRS is a substantial part of the swamp. Acting IRS Commissioner David Carter, or Cop, how do you say his name? K-A-U-T-T-E-R, Cowder? Anyway. Sorry. Should not, quote, rest until these bonuses are returned to the taxpayers and until all tax cheats are fired from this swamp, the agency of the IRS. Anyway, there you go, Kurt. Again, I don't see anybody really draining the swamp. If you want to drain the swamp, one of the best places to start are the Education Department and the IRS. But nothing's being done.
And for example, you take Google and you put in IRS employees dodge taxes, you get nothing, pretty much.
Why should you get anything, Kurt? They don't want you to know that.
That's right.
In fact, the Google folks probably have a pass to dodge taxes, too.
Well, you know, like you say, they kind of work together, it seems like. But it's sad to see. It has more to do with the whole justice for all. You know,
and it's bad enough they dodge taxes and get away with it. But what about bonuses on top of it, Kurt? You dodge taxes and you get a bonus? What a win-win. Lose. Wow. Win-win for them. Lose for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Good
point. All right. But again, there's no surprise in this. We reported on the scandals of the IRS and the FBI and the Justice Department for 25 years or more now, right, Kurt?
Good point.
We've been reporting on these swamp monsters for a long time. Donald's new to the swamp, but he's getting absolutely eaten alive, isn't he? Now they're saying, look, we can see the George Bush countenance in Donald right now.
And wow. If you put in exactly what you said, then you get Washington Times has a piece on it. Newsmax has a piece on it.
Type in this if you want to get the exact one. IRS space, no dots in there, just IRS space. Employees, no apostrophe, just employees. Dodge, D-O-J. I'm sorry,
D-O-D-G-E.
Dodge, D-O-D-G-E. Write that down and see what you get.
Well, and at least my point, putting it in like I did, I mean, you put any other story in, any other thing about something, it'll come up with all these related
things.
Not when
they don't want it to come up, buddy. It isn't happening.
That's the reason.
Look, Google is your enemy, created by the CIA in bed with the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then we run around and go, by golly, we hate it. There's no other search engines out there that we can use.
And
don't email me and tell me there are, folks. I know there are, but I'm just making a point.
What do you suggest to enter it in, you know?
What do you mean?
A recommendation? Where do you suggest to search for it?
Go to Liberty News Radio or Liberty Roundtable and find our headline and copy it and paste it into the engine and you can find stories on it.
No, I just mean, what engine would you use when you search for things?
Well, there's no good engine to use. I'd use just Google. Not that I think it's good, but look, I don't know that. For example, put that into, what's that other one that Microsoft has? What's that goofy thing?
It's not you.
No, what's that one, Microsoft?
Bing.
Has? Yeah, Bing.
Is it Bing?
Pop it in Bing, Kurt, and see what you get. There, you'll get different results, but not a whole lot better. But, you know, do you trust Microsoft instead of Google? Microsoft are the folks that created the scandal where they run around and buy up companies or partner with companies, steal their technology, throw them aside, wait for the lawsuits to happen, pay out big on the end, but they make 10 times more than they pay out, and they do it over and over. That's those guys, right?
Yeah, good point.
Is that a lot better than the Google guys?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I don't really know that there's a lot of good search engines out there because, look, the conservatives don't put their money where their mouth is, Kurt. We don't build anything of our own. We just complain when all the institutions go wrong. That's all we do. Now, there's a few exceptions. Look, Liberty Roundtable is doing something about it.
I guess Free Beacon has something on it. L.A. Times. The L.A. Times piece is back in 2014, though, so it's like...
Yeah, they've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that, but all I'm telling you is it's interesting. You got to hunt for these stories and these pieces to even know about them, Kurt.
Yeah.
And that's what we do best is hunt it all
down and
find it for you.
I guess the one from the Free Beacons back in 2015, so they don't even list the the current one.
Well, they've been involved in a scandal for a long time getting bonuses and what do you call it? Dodging taxes. Kurt, they've been doing that forever. This isn't anything new.
It's crazy.
It's just highlighted once again. For good reason, I might add. But see, I don't see Donald or anybody doing anything about it. I don't see Mike Pence up in arms about this.
Well, except for you can look at it and say, hey, at least I want to know when was the last time the federal government had less employees. You know, I mean, I don't remember seeing that before. And when you have 16,000 less last year for 2017, that's...
And yeah, they deserve credit for that start. I agree.
Yeah. And then the surplus thing, like I say, when I look it up on Google, the last time I can find that the federal government spent less than they brought in, which is, you know, like a big news for me, was 01.
Yeah, and then you go back to they were going to take down the IRS in 96 when the Republican Revolution happened, or the Freshman Revolution, and everybody was disguising their voices and covering their faces and saying, the IRS is evil, they're out to get me, and... Yeah. You know, now we know the FBI is evil and out to get us and in bed with the president and everything else for dishonest, ne'er-do-well election tampering, and then we run around and blame it all on the Russians. Right, Kurt?
That's what it looks like, Sam.
Now, I'm not saying the Russians didn't mess with the election. I'm sure they did, Kurt. But if they did, here, they can't have it both ways. They say there's no election fraud, Sam, you're crazy. Then they say the Russians committed election fraud. It's like, huh? What are you talking about? Yeah. Okay, these people are lying. We've been messing with elections of foreign nations for decades as well.
Well, there's a big story from Pat Buchanan on that, Sam. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, is that Russia troll farm an act of war?
He says, accordingly, Kurt, it is not.
Yeah, well, that's his point. He says, hey, you know, everybody's been doing this for a long time. We try to influence other people's elections, and they try to influence ours. So...
Why wouldn't they try to get the candidate in there that would be most friendly to them as a nation? Why wouldn't they do that, Kurt? That'd be stupid not to.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Again, it's nothing more than advocating for their beliefs, but it's not an act of war. And what Barack's done is 10 times worse. He's literally decided that he's not going to give the incoming president the details about this nation. Right. Now, Bob Unruh writes another incredible piece for WorldNet Daily, Kurt, that I think is important to understand. You brought this one forward as well. Headline, CIA, quote, we get to pick which media receives classified information.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's criminal activity at the top. These people should be arrested on the spot for this, Kurt.
Yeah, he starts out, he says, the handling of classified information has been a major news focus in recent years. During the 2016 election, the FBI investigated Hillary Clinton's abuse of classified information through a private email server while she was Secretary of State, and Clinton aide Huma Abedin was found to have put classified information on the laptop of her convicted pervert husband, Anthony Weiner. This month, protecting national security secrets has become an issue as the Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee seek to release a memo rebutting the Republican summary of evidence that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee hired an opposition research firm to produce a dossier of political dirt on Donald Trump that was used to obtain a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. Now Bob Unruh continues, he says, now there's a new development in the handling of classified material. The CIA is telling a court it can release such information to some reporters and withhold the same information from others.
All right, that's criminal activity if you ask my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Why would they get to decide that? What authority do they have? The CIA is an unconstitutional agency, right, Kurt? Shut it down. Liberty Roundtable Live.
It's hard to find it in the Constitution.
Good point.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The CIA. We get to pick which media receives classified information. So they literally double down and blatantly admit they get to cite all that, Kurt. I think this is criminal activity from an unconstitutional government agency right on the spot. But again, you know, we chanted lock her up during the campaign. Now Donald's doing none of this. None of these things are even on the table for scrutiny, except for the new media taking center stage, Kurt, as far as I can see.
Well, that's a good point, Sam.
All right, any other tidbits from that piece? That's an important piece.
What's so amazing to me is, do you see it anywhere else? The CIA, they say the protections of FOIA's exemptions have not been waived. Remember, Freedom of Information Act? You know, that's just such a joke, if you ask me.
Yeah, but they just thumb their nose at it, and they say, we don't care. What are you going to do about it, Kurt?
Yeah. And the only real way to bring those guys under control, at least if you ask me, is you simply have to literally cut their funding, Sam. I mean, it's got to
You got to cut their funding and you got to start arresting people for their criminal activity, though.
Yeah.
All right.
But Congress, with the purse strings, if they really would, do it. The only problem is that these entities have power, whether it's the IRS or, EPA, whatever. They have power to make each of those congressmen's lives kind of rough, don't they?
Yeah, buddy. We used to interview a congressman from Idaho. What's his name?
Hanson, right?
Hanson. George Hanson. Last name. Yeah. We used to interview him, and he tried to take on the IRS, and they literally put him in diesel therapy and abused him, and eventually he got a big payout, but a day late and a dollar short, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, a lot of writers are speaking out on this gun shooting, Kurt. I spoke that I believe that we need to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property, and if we do those things appropriately, we won't have a gun problem. Nevertheless, we talked about Pat Buchanan writing a similar themed article as my commentary on the matter. Now our buddy Jesse Lee Peterson doing a similar reality check. Quote, here's the anecdote to evil mass shootings. Jesse Lee Peterson, Kurt.
Yeah, here he is, Jesse Lee Peterson. He's the guy that calls himself an unhyphenated American, right, Sam? We hang out with him. He's the standard media would call him a black American. But he basically says, hey, the left has removed God from our public schools. Psychologists have been prescribing psychotropic drugs to children for decades, and things have gotten worse. We're in a spiritual warfare of good versus evil, and you cannot solve spiritual issues with physical solutions. I don't know. I think that pretty much sums it up, don't you, Sam?
Yes.
I mean, I agree there's some more details to his piece, but,
He bottom line talks about we need to bring back the family.
Yeah.
We need to really realize that a right to keep and bear arms is a blessing, not a curse. It has value when you put guns in the hands of good, honest, peaceful people, using them as they're intended, which is a defense mechanism, Kurt.
Good point.
Anyway, I commend him for his integrity. He's a black gentleman, but he's spot on the issues. All right, I don't even know how to take this on, but I'm just going to say number me too and let you take it over, Kurt.
It's the hashtag me too. And, you know, out in California, apparently they got some assembly woman and probably, you know, use that term loosely.
I wouldn't talk about loose women on the radio, Kurt. That gets crazy fast.
Yeah, I know. But the bottom line is, you know, this individual, she has captured national media attention in the past, but now, you know, those that she works with say that the way she gets her way, if you will, she participates in sexual activities with other colleagues to get information. You know, this kind of stuff, Sam, is just, man, I guess you could say it's a sign of our times, but... man, it's tough stuff. And
now the problem is she's with the Me Too movement, and she's literally then acting like she's a victim.
Good point.
The Me Too movement is a bunch of victims that are saying, "Hey, this promiscuity, this man driven sex predator kind of an idea, whatever you want to say, is really wrong." And she stands up against. It turns out she's one of them, Kurt. She's one of the predators, not a victim at all.
Well, yeah, you know, she invites her. You know, people, including the men working with her, to play, you know, kissing games like spin the bottle and other stuff like that. I mean, just imagine if Rand Paul did that or, you know, something like that. I mean, it would be some kind of news like you couldn't believe it. Right, Sam? But where do you hear about this lady?
Well, and what they're going to say, too, is when you push on this, they're going to say her victimhood is what made her a predator too. See what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's not her fault.
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, she's a woman.
Somebody
after
else's
all,
fault.
She was just forced to play the game. See, the ends justify the means. What lengths will these people go to for these things?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing.
Anyway, what a sad tale to tell. I feel bad for all the people involved with her. You know, but again, she's not stepping down, is she, Kurt?
Well, not that I can see. They say she'll probably do a few mea culpas, you know, say, I'm sorry about that, and then she'll move on to be governor or something there in California.
Yeah, good point. All right, we don't have too much time for this, Kurt, but maybe a little time, and then what I want to do is try to get this guest on the radio with us if we can, and then dig into this later, because we've got all election season long to drill in and focus on this. But our buddy Ken, listener, Ken emailed us, a talk show host out of Boston that really... in my opinion, laid down the gauntlet when it comes to Mitt Romney and his record. Did you see this?
No.
All right, it's in your email, I think.
Okay.
And anyway, this Boston talk show host does a great job breaking down, hey, Utahns, you don't really know who Mitt Romney is. And it goes through a whole lot of stuff that Mitt went on the record one way and did the other way or talked big about this and did that and how it's just, wow. I mean, Mitt Romney is disaster, Kurt.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
And,
I mean, he had no idea that he was not the guy we needed.
I'm hoping Kurt can hunt down this talk show host and we can have the guy on the radio.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people email me and say, Sam, you ought to have this awesome guest on. And I agree with them, but it's just so hard to hunt the person down.
Yep.
But anyway, it's WRKO is the radio station. And they say he's done a pretty good job. His documentation is certainly worth your checking, Sam. His name is Greg Jackson, Kurt. And Greg Jackson, time to wake up, Utah. Mitt is not who you think he is. And we can get into the details later just because there's a lot of them, and I don't want to sell the segment or the discussion short. But I wanted to highlight it. And again, this is an example of incredible citizen reporters, Kurt, chiming in, letting us know about things, teaming up with other reporters. This is a real talk show host guy that did the digging and did the research. Now you got a citizen reporter bringing it to our attention. Hopefully we can get Greg on the radio and collaborate to tell the tale of liberty and focus on the truth here. And again, we're not out to attack Mitt Romney as a person. I'm sure that if he was your next door neighbor, he'd be a great guy to go borrow some, you know, vanilla extract from or something. Borrow some eggs from or whatever. Okay, I'm sure that he'd be a nice guy and he'd probably help you shovel your snow and you could help him or whatever and take care of your mail when you're gone and all that kind of stuff. I'm not telling you that he's an evil person. But I don't believe he's a good, honest, wise servant of the Republic either. I think that he does very foolish things in his effort to get ahead. He compromises where he ought not. And I don't think he understands the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, well enough, because the things that he does flies in the face. For example, the blueprint for Obamacare came from Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. Okay? He basically said that he was forced by the courts to promote same-sex marriage. It isn't true, Kurt. Although that's what his claim was. He also basically said that he was against abortions, but then he literally funded some abortion stuff a couple of years after he was talking about how pro-life he was and stuff, that he had a change of heart on the subject. He acts like he believes that people have the right to keep and bear arms. But yet, when push comes to shove, he believes guns of lethality ought to be taken out of people's hands. Well, every gun is a gun of lethality, Kurt.
Well, as far as I can tell.
And so the problem is it's not genuine. And the problem is, who are we dealing with here? And really, Romney and Trump are very similar to each other, Kurt, in my mind. They're both very liberal, but they pretend they're conservative. They do a lot of good. They're not your standard media guy because they've been outside in business for a long time. So they have a lot of business reality and business acumen, if you will. They're both incredibly successful. They're both, now they're quite different. I believe that Mitt Romney has lived a moral life on a personal level. I don't believe he's a, you know, and Donald hasn't. So I'm not saying they're identical. But when push comes to shove, they're quite similar. They're the consummate outsider being pitched as the latest politician guy. Now, it's interesting because Romney's had a lot of positions in government, although he's kind of considered an outsider. He's considered an outsider because he's done a lot in business, too. But both of them are really insiders with the rest of them, Kurt. They both have a lot of friends in high places. They both have a lot of money at their back. Anyway, there you go. But there's good news to wrap up the hour, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's always nice to hear it.
We're talking about state election officials across the country.
Well, yeah, Sam. You know, it's amazing to me as they're actually looking like they're going back to something that's tried and true and may work. Well, it will work, I guess you'd say. But paper ballots are making a return. You know, The Globe is where this came from. Matt Visor there. The headline reads, state election officials across country returning to paper ballots, hoping to counter waves of Russian Twitter bots, fake social media accounts, and hacking attacks aimed at undermining American democracy, the article says. State election officials around the country are seizing an old-school strategy. Paper ballots. Well, I mean, we would have never recommended that, huh, Sam?
Except for we've been doing for 25 years as a clarion call for solutions, I just might add.
I guess in Virginia, they say election officials have gone back to a paper ballot system as a way to prevent any foreign interference. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf.
Hey, let me ask you a question. When I say there's what? Vote fraud and they say there's foreign interference, is there a difference?
Good point.
Just one.
This month ordered county officials to ensure new election equipment produces a paper record. Georgia lawmakers are considering legislation to replace a touchscreen voting system with paper. Top election officials around the country are growing increasingly alarmed about this fall's midterm election with the drumbeat of dire warning signs that Russia is determined to influence them, and many are concerned that President Trump is not focused on the potential for more attacks.
Now, I got another question. Well, they shut down his commission. What do you mean he's not focused on the potential for more attacks?
Yeah,
they shut down Donald's commission on this. Now, the other thing that I find interesting is when we brought this up, election fraud, they said we were conspiracy nuts, Kurt. Now you got legislative bodies all across the land involved in the conspiracy plan of fact.
Yeah. Welcome.
Well, the truth is the truth, and it shall set you free. What can I say?
Good point.
By the way, paper ballots are the great solution, ladies and gentlemen. Let's return to them all over the country, and let's do it immediately. Shut down mail, vote by mail, shut down these machines that can be hacked and manipulated, et cetera. Let's go to paper ballots, and let's go to a summary on each candidate so we can understand who they really are and what they're claiming and standing for, and let's vote. Have accountability.
And eliminate the parties. We could do that as well.
Well, would evaluate each candidate on their own merit, Kurt.
Imagine that.
It'd be crazy. One day they might come to the knowledge of the truth on that, too, we pray. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. We need your financial support, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure.